How do we let go of chaos? That's a question I asked the ladies just before we broke. And I don't think many of us think that we hang on to chaos, but I watch people like a lot now as I age, you know, and I really watch the younger people. And boy, do they hang on to chaos. Do they hang on to the fast pace, the zip, 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 because, you know, with that, there's no real emotional. Emotionalism is removed from the, you know, even from the moment, because we don't spend enough time in the moment, and we're really, as Sue said earlier, not really in the moment. You know, I've planned the end, and I want to get to the end to prove that I planned it right, and we never do. You know. Anyway, when you guys think of that, does it bring anything to mind? Is it you guys? Has it ever been? You know, what's it like now compared to? How do you handle it? How do you deal with it when you realize that, you know, because I love that fast pace too. When it starts going, I like to talk fast and so on and so forth. It doesn't get me much anymore or as much, but boy, it did. And I loved it, you know, sign the deals and this kind of stuff, man. Just keep going, you know, 1 million, but next time 50, 20, you know what I mean? Like just crazy stuff. So anyway, tell me about what you guys think when I say, how do you deal with letting go of living that life, if you will, forget the booze and drugs and all that stuff for a bit, and just think of the chaotic stuff. Do I hang on to that life? You know.
Well, you know, when I think of chaos, I notice it, a lot of chaos in a lot of people's lives. My life is not chaotic today. Mm-hmm. Not nowhere near to where it used to be many years ago. So I don't invite that in at all. I'm very guarded about that. Especially I have a lot of friends, and if they have a lot of drama going on in their life consistently. I don't mean to be rude, but I'll kind of cut you off because I can't emotionally engage in that relationship and develop a relationship with another human being and get intimate with them when they're constantly got stuff going on that never seems to get solved. It's like the hamster on the wheel. Yeah. You know, when I think of, you know, being busy, I'm very high strung and I'm a very fast moving person and I'm intense and I'm very driven and, you know, that is a good thing, but it can also be a disservice to me sometimes. Yeah. It's really, I do a lot of taking time for myself. Mm-hmm. I never used to be okay with being alone. Never used to be okay with being quiet. A lot of times I'm in my car, I just shut off the radio and be in the quietest and driving, right? And that's really good because it feeds my soul. Me sitting still on my couch, I have an area where I pray. I mean, I spend a lot of time in prayer and being quiet, right? Mm-hmm. And that's really good. But when I think of chaos too, I also think of routine and structuring your life. I didn't have that for many years, right? Yeah. I went from, you know, a jail cell to a recovery house to a treatment center with, okay, jail, I was told what to do, when to do, how to do it.
Yeah.
Then a recovery house, a treatment center with more rules, and then I went to a recovery house. A lot of rules and structure. And it's funny because I'm sponsoring someone right now, and I'm very routine. I do really well with routine and structure in my life. I try to get up at the same time. I do the same thing every morning. You know, I have at nighttime, you're lucky, I'm very rarely in bed, out of bed after 12 o'clock at night. 11:30 the most, right? Unless I'm going out somewhere. But I'm trying to implement that in somebody else's life. I said, you need to do something consistently. Try to practice these three simple things just for a week. Yep. You know, if you're sleeping in and you're not doing your laundry and taking care of your business or taking care of your kids, or, you know, you're late for everything and things are all over the place, that's an unmanageable life. Mm-hmm. That's chaotic. And, you know, the only way to change that is to start. We don't make huge changes. We don't wake up one day and have an organized routine schedule. We do it by small little steps, by implementing those things that will provide, you know, some kind of stability. And I know those things, those structures, they ground me and they root me. And I do very, very, very well with structure and routine. But I'm also able, like I'm going on a missions trip coming up in Colombia, and I don't know where I'm sleeping. Yeah. I don't know what the schedule is. I don't know what the food's. There's going to be a lot of things I'm going to have to let go of. And it might be very hard for me, and I'll probably be doing a lot of praying. But, you know, I'm also able to be flexible in some of that stuff. I'm a little bit of a free spirit and an easygoing and, you know, dirt, washing in a shower with my flip-flops on, maybe in the middle of the jungle. Doesn't sound the greatest thing, but I'll adjust to it as long as the water's warm or, you know, semi-warm, right?
With your bathing suit on,
With my bathing suit on, yes, of course.
Sounds like a great adventure. Fantastic.
Kim, does it mean anything to you, letting go of chaos?
Oh, yeah, it's huge. Yeah. My whole life was chaos. I was the proverbial tornado, not just in everybody else's life, but in my own life. Oh my God. Like, and I'm very similar to Susan. I'm very driven. I'm very fast. And I can accomplish a lot of things in a very short period of time because I get into this thing called hyperfocus, and that's also stemming from ADHD, right? But I operate, I can do this stuff effectively only from a place of non-chaos, right? If inside I'm all chaotic and I'm all over the place and this and that, I can't get anything done anymore. I have a really hard time with that. And I'm also, I need that quiet time. I need quiet time. I need to just be able to go and just sort of, you know, power God in, stress out, and connect with that great reality that I feel inside of me and get connected to that and like, okay, what do I need to think about? What do I need to do? How do I do it? I have to be able to do that. I have cut it out. And when that was all part of my crazy addiction, even when I wasn't using, right? I was still all in the craziness and in the chaos and in the he say and the she say and the up and the down and the drama and this and the that. And it's been really hard. Like, I've gone to visit friends of mine that are still kind of living in that world. And I sit there and I visit with them for 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah, you're like out of the
10 or 15 minutes. I'm happy to see them. They were people that were soldiers with me back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're not doing that thing. They haven't done the kind of things that I've had to do to get better.
Mm-hmm.
And I go and I sit there, and within 3 minutes, they're you know, full of character assassination and this and that and let's go do that and oh, that woman's mother and guess who's doing this, and I'm just like, oh my God, I can't
handle
it. Calgon,
take me
away.
Calgon,
take me away. I gotta leave. I
what
can't.
What a waste of life.
Yeah, it is, absolutely.
I was going to say, too, I think when people are in that chaotic state, and I can get in that chaotic state, my anxiety and my fear can drive me into this kind of spinning out of control. Like, if there's no inner peace, and I got to do it. If it's fear-based and there's the anxiety from me, sometimes my breathing is a good indicator that I'm going, maybe going to go off the rails in a bit, right? Yeah. But the other thing with that, there's a payoff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a reason why people do what they do, right?
That's true.
And I know for me, you know, being clean and being busy sometimes is a great way to avoid your feelings. For me.
Well, I was going
to
say, it's great an escape.
Way. Yeah. So for me, that's why I try to balance a lot of things. That's why I really do try to spend some time quiet. But I think a lot of people, I watch a lot of people living in a lot of chaos, and they're getting something from it. Mm-hmm. The martyr. I think of the martyr, right? Oh, so, you know, the martyr who's running around fixing everybody and driving them places and cooking and bringing meals and ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Really?
Doing everything with no friends.
Well, they do that, and everybody's giving them accolades and saying, oh, she's such a sweet woman. Look at all the things she does. And she's phenomenal.
Yeah.
But underneath it all, you know, there's things about her. She's filling herself up by her deeds. We don't get filled up by our things that we do, right? You know, there's no checklist up there with the big guy in the sky.
And you better do as much as she's doing if you want to feel worthy in her eyes.
Yeah. Well, I think people that operate like that come from a shame-based, guilty place, right? And I know some people very close to me that operate like that, and it's really sad, right?
It's 100%.
They don't see it, right? And when they've been like that for many years and conditioned, how do they change?
Yeah.
They don't have a program. They don't need to change. What is the purpose? Because everybody's saying, she's such a luck at her.
You know, and then there's unpredictability, okay, which is in all our lives. It comes into our structured day, you know. So, like you say, you can plan on being flexible and you're going somewhere where you know that stuff's not going to exist. But in general, you're doing a day and someone comes along, they want to help you, but they don't help you the right way. So they mess up the whole thing, this unpredictable stuff. And if you grew up in alcoholic or addictive or, you know, what do you call it, dysfunctional homes, you know, you were trying to get used to unpredictability, but you never could, you know. So either you took the dope or you took the control, you know, or some combination of both. You became, you know, the pure codependent, or you became the pure dependent, or whatever, or some combination. But, you know, we can be overstructured too, is my point. And if we're not loose in how we handle things going against it, like, because that's huge, you know. Like,
there is there's a beautiful part about being an immature addict, and that is every now and then we get these moments of pure spontaneity where I still do anyway.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the thing, right?
Sure, yeah,
it's
yeah.
being able to have some balance.
Yeah.
It's being able to have some balance. It's like, yes, okay, I'm going to get up. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to do a billion things, blah, 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 blah. But you know what? On the way home, you know what? Let me go down the road here and go see this thing. Or,
yeah.
or let me go do that. Or let me do this. That's part, for me, that's essential for me.
Yeah.
It's essential. It's essential to have fun.
So you're breaking it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's essential to have fun.
But I think when I hear you say that, because I think we're similar personalities. I'm very impulsive.
Yeah.
But and it used to get me in a lot of trouble. It still does on occasions. Sometimes I have to bite my tongue. If I can bite my tongue, we're good. And not say really what I'm thinking. But what I wanted to say is that impulsivity in me and that spontaneity. I'm a risk taker.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. And it used to really cause me a lot of damage in my active addiction.
Mm-hmm.
But today I get to use it for wonderful things. That is something that was placed in me at the time of conception. It is who I am.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to shy away from it. We're going to hone it a little bit. I almost call it honing it, right? Making sure I'm using it for a good reason. It's okay to be spontaneous and go in a crowd and get them going if I'm somewhere or, you know, if people are blue and they need somebody to send them a joke that's going to crack them up. I'll do, like, I just, sometimes I'm willing to take those risks and I think, oh my gosh, what are they going to think of me? I don't care. It's going out there, right? Yeah. So
that's cool. That's cool. Who we are.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to change who we are. We can't change who we are anyway. That's what steps
we don't want to be. If we're not true to ourselves, we're true to nobody, you know?
Yes.
So, you know what, ladies, I'm going to have to say, it was such a pleasure having you guys on, and we need to do it again. By the way, Kim, the step is always corresponding with the month that we're on here. So if it's 2, it's February, and it's step 2, if it's and so on. So you'll always know if you were on, when you said 10, then you must have been on October.
That's why you said that.
Yeah.
I thought you had a great memory.
Yeah, no. Thanks very much. I've never heard that before.
Just work with that story. Leave that fantasy all day long, Scott. You're good.
The other thing, by the way, folks, step 4 is taking a moral inventory of yourself, like looking at who you are, where you've been, what you did, how you got there. You know, the other thought I had is the world needs recovery, not just us few people. The world needs it. And it's a destigmatizer. You know, if you think there's stigmas out there, get into recovery. Just get involved in 12-step stuff and you'll see. The stigmas will fall away, and that'll bring the world together, and that's a conquering factor, you know. And forget the labels. I don't even care if it's NAA, AOA, CALN. It don't matter to me, you know. Like, I love them all, and without the love, many of us aren't going to get well. So, Jay, I'm a minute late, but you want to clock us out
or
do whatever you want to do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Great show.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to Sharing the Burden live on 102.9 FM in Stouffville. Please go to sharingtheburden.ca for this and previous broadcasts. Hope you enjoyed the show and hope you'll share it. Till we meet again, this is Scott saying, have a great day.